Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the H2O Innovation conference call announcing its first quarter 2021 financial results. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs, et bienvenue à l'appel conférence d'H2O Innovation annonçant les résultats financiers du premier trimestre de l'année financière 2021. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question and answer session. Instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing this conference, please press the star key followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. Cet appel se déroulera en anglais, mais n'hésitez pas à poser vos questions en français. Before turning the meeting over to management, please be advised that this conference call will contain statements that could be forward-looking and subject to a number of risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated. I would like to remind everyone that the conference call is being recorded today, November 10th, 2020, at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. I'll now turn the conference over to your hosts, Monsieur Frédéric Ducret and Marc Blanchet. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. My name is Marc Blanchet. I'm CFO of H2O Innovation. This call will be held in English, but I'll just say a brief word in French to my French audience, to the French audience. Merci, bonjour à tous. Dans un premier temps, j'aimerais vous remercier d'assister à cet appel et vous aviser que même si l'appel se tiendra en anglais, nous répondrons aux questions qui seront posées en français dans la seconde partie de l'appel. Pour faciliter le suivi de l'appel, je vous invite à télécharger la présentation sur notre site Internet h2oinnovation.com dans la section Investisseurs. Before we begin, I invite you to download a copy of today's presentation, which can be found on our website at h2oinnovation.com in the section Investors. Frédéric Ducret, President and CEO of H2O, is joining me today for the call, which duration is approximately 30 minutes. During this call, Frédéric will give an update on the business and present the highlight of the first quarter 2021. And I will be presenting the financial result of this quarter, ended September 30, 2020. Please take a moment to read the forward-looking statement on page 2 and the non-IFRS financial measurements on page 3 of the presentation. I now hand over the call to Frédéric.
Thank you, Mark, and thank you to the analysts and the shareholders for joining the call today. We are delighted to present you on the heels of a fourth quarter strong financial results for this first quarter of our new fiscal year. Let's look at the business highlights at page 4. Our revenues continue to grow organically and through acquisition. For this first quarter, we are showing a sustained 24% growth, notably driven by the acquisition of Gulf Utility Services completed on July 1st, 2020. As mentioned in the previous call, the second O&M acquisition in the state of Texas will enable us to consolidate our business in Texas that now counts 85 customers when combined to ACE South, previously acquired in December 18, 2018. The small tuck-in acquisition will also allow us to optimize our operational costs, service our clients more efficiently, and thus expand our profit margins. Indeed, we continue to enjoy a margin expansion of our gross profit that now stands at 27% at the end of our Q1, in strong progression compared to the previous fiscal year. Similarly, the adjusted EBITDA moved from 5.8% to almost 10% for this first quarter. Our objective to continuously improve our adjusted EBITDA remains the same. For this reason, we are presenting a net earnings of $1 million for this first quarter, a record high quarterly performance for the company, and a second quarter in a row of net earnings performance. Finally, cash flow generated was sustained and in line with our expectations. Now, let's have a look at the performance of each of our business pillars. Starting at page 5 with our first business pillar, the Water Technology and Services, named WTS. For this first quarter, the positive impact of the $17.8 million of new municipal and industrial projects secured in Q1 have not impacted yet our WTS revenues. These new bookings have allowed us to grow our backlog above $40 million, positioning the WTS pillar in an upwards trend, revenue trend for this coming quarters. As of September 30th, 2020, WTS revenues were still shy at $6.2 million compared to $8.2 in their Q1 of previous year, since most of our projects are still in the early stage of engineering and fabrication. However, thanks to the sustained efforts conducted by the team, Our focus towards projects at higher margin and our attention to maximize service revenues generation, the gross profit margin increased from 20 to 25% year over year. This improvement directly impacted positively our EBAC performance, moving from 8 to 11% for this first quarter. As our project backlog starts to grow again, our team will remain extremely busy. In fact, the team was fully occupied with the commissioning of and startup of 11 systems. In parallel, the engineering and manufacturing teams continue to work on 26 different projects. The picture at the bottom shows a couple of systems under fabrication and assembly in our facility in Minnesota. These future deliveries will impact positively the coming quarters and will certainly fuel opportunities for additional services and consumable sales. Let's look at page 6 at the sustained performance of our second business pillar, the specialty products. After a strong Q4 with multiple large orders of specialty products delivered to customers, the four business lines included in the specialty products pillar continue to present solid results. For this quarter only, revenues have increased from 5.2 to 11.4 million, representing a 120% increase year over year. Of this remarkable growth, 2.8 million is coming from the acquisition of Genesis, completed almost a year ago on November 15, 2019. The growth of this business pillar is also supported by significant orders delivered during this quarter from our Piedmont business line and by a strong start of PWT and Maple equipment lines. Pushed by such important revenue growth, the EBAC for the specialty products increased by 186%, moving from 1 to 2.7 million at the end of Q1 2021. The product mix and our important revenue growth from all of our business lines have allowed us to expand and scale up our EBAC margins from 18 to 24% now. Despite the traveling restrictions due to the pandemic, our teams continue to find ways to interact with customers and stay engaged with our distributors. For example, Genesis Business Line conducted their first virtual distributor conference where 25 distributors from the Middle East and North Africa attended the event. This event was a clear success as it allowed us to collect feedback, conduct sales training, and encourage social and business networking among the participants. Out of this event, we're expecting positive impact on our sales of specialty chemicals in the coming years. The good news is that since the acquisition of Genesis a year ago, we have not observed any sales attrition from our distribution network. Piedmont continues its strong commercial progression in the Middle East by notably obtaining an NSF certification for drinking water on its large filter housings delivered recently. Let's move to our third business pillar, the operation and maintenance, presented at page 7. O&M revenues stood at $17.4 million at the end of the first quarter, showing a 17% increase year over year. The sustained growth is partially coming from the acquisition of Gus, completed on July 1st, which contributed to $1.5 million of revenue increase of this business pillar during the quarter. The remaining portion of the revenue increase is coming from the organic growth observed in both utility partners and AIDS. Consequently, the EBAC increased by 23% during the same period, showing a scalability in our operations. The acquisition of Gulf Utility Services, concluded on July 1st, is allowing us to grow our presence in Texas. It is now a total of 85 customers that we have in Texas, one of the fastest growing states in need with water and wastewater infrastructure, operation, maintenance, and upgrades. During this first quarter, utility partners renewed two long-term O&M contracts for a total value of $4.3 million. We're also delighted to announce that we successfully secured and started on October 1st, 2020, a new O&M contract in Florida. This is our first O&M contract in the state of Florida, which has an enormous potential of growth for the O&M business pillar. This new contract will start to impact positively our revenues and EBAC on Q2 and of our fiscal year. The addition of this new O&M contract combined to the latest renewal positioned the O&M backlog at $85 million at the end of September 2020. Moving to slide number 8, We see how our growth was orchestrated and how the expansion of specialty products and O&M business pillars created a positive inflection on our adjusted EBITDA performance. Our organic and external growth combined to our focus to improve margins of our WTS business pillar contributed to increase our LTM adjusted EBITDA to $14.4 million now. As a result, we continue to expand our adjusted EBITDA margins to 10.2% through diligent expense control and added value proposition carrying better margins. Moving to slide number 9, we're showing how the level of recurrent revenues by nature has evolved over time. The strategic decision to focus on growing recurring sales and focusing on customer retention has allowed us to significantly de-risk the business, improve cash flow, and gross profit margins. At the end of the first quarter, the recurrent revenues represented 90% of our consolidated revenues, driven by our specialty products that we manufacture and sell through a large distribution network, by the operation and maintenance we're providing to 275 water and wastewater utilities in North America, and by aftermarket sales we are providing to our large project install base. Not only we are in the right space, as the water team will continue to gain interest of investors, but we have a unique business model. As I said many times, even if the pandemic continues, people still need water, and they will continue to flush their toilets. Water treatment is among the top essential services. I would say that our business is somehow COVID-resistant. Our business model relying on high recurring revenues enable us to gain financial predictability, improved margin, and generate sustained operating cash flow. I will now pass it out to Parcelon to Marc Blanchette, our CFO, who will review and discuss the financial performance of our company for the first quarter.
Thank you, Frederick. So please go to slide number 11. We'll first look at the first pillar, WTS. So revenue for this quarter stood at 6.2, as Fred explained. It's a decrease compared to 8.2 last year. Although the revenue decreased, the profitability increased. The EBAC stood at $700,000, or 11.1% compared to last year at $600,000, or just below 8% last year. The increase of the EBAC in dollar and in percentage is driven by the improvement of the gross profit margin in percentage and the reduction of the cost structure coming from the reorg we did in Q4 last fiscal year. The gross profit margin stood at $1.6 million or 25% for Q1 compared to $1.7 or 20% for the same quarter last year. The gross profit margin was helped by a higher proportion of service activities, which are characterized by higher gross profit margin compared to the same quarter last year. Our objective is to focus on growth of service activities which are recurring by nature and have better gross profit margin. It's in line with the strategy of reducing volatility coming from WTS business revenues. Revenues of WTS for the first quarter are in line with our expectation following the corporation's strategic change announced on August 24th. The objective of the management behind this restructuration is to improve the corporation's profitability by remaining selective on the project which we intend to bid, focusing on project with high gross profit margin and project that may generate recurring revenue, such as operation and maintenance contract or aftermarket services revenues. On September 30, the backlog stood at $40 million, which is similar to last year for the same period last year. In addition to this backlog, we've been awarded a $10 million project in Manitoba, which was announced on August 24th. Out of that $10 million, only $700,000 have been added to the backlog, which is the value of the detail engineering and the 12-month pilot. The rest of this amount will be added once the piloting is completed. The pipeline is still very rich in opportunity for WTS. We're actually bidding on projects that could continue to replenish the backlog, and in some projects, if some projects are won. As explained earlier, the focus of this business pillar is to improve the gross profit margin prior to focusing on growth of growing their volume of revenues. So please move to slide 12, specialty products. So revenue from specialty products had a very nice increase this quarter, 100% increase compared to last year, and the revenue stood at 11.4 compared to 5.2 last year. The 6.2 million increase in revenue is coming from the acquisition of Genesis, which generated 2.8 million, and also significant orders of Piedmont that have been delivered over this quarter. And also, it's in line with the fourth quarter, where also Piedmont has a very strong, had a very strong quarter. The gross profit margin stood at 4.8 million compared to 2.2, representing an increase of $2.6 million. And the gross profit margin in percentage remained fairly the same at 42%. The EBAC stood at 2.7 million or 24% for this first quarter compared to 1 million or 18% for same quarter last year, representing an increase of 1.7 million or it's in percentage, it's 186% increase. Slide 13, O&M, operation and maintenance. So the revenue stood at 17.4 compared to 14.8 last year, representing an increase of 2.6 million or 17.1. GUS, which was acquired on July 1st, contributed to 1.5 million. The rest of the revenue increase is coming from organic growth, coming from utility partners and Hayes. The gross profit margin stood at 3.1 million or 18% for this first quarter compared to 2.8 million or 19% last year, representing an increase of $300,000. The EBAC stood at 2.3 million or 13.2 compared to 1.9 last year or 12.5, representing an increase of $400,000. The acquisition of GUS contributed to improve the EBAC. After only 3 months following GUS acquisition, some cost synergies have already been captured. Also, the reduction of selling and selling and general expenses explain the improvement of the EBAC. So on September 30, the O&M backlog stood at 85 million, representing a decrease of 25% compared to 113 last year. The O&M backlog consists of long-term contracts, mainly with municipalities, which contains multi-year renewal options. The decrease is explained by some contracts approaching their renewal date. O&M long-term contracts have typical duration of 3 to 5 years and have different anniversary dates for renewal. Therefore, the timing on the renewal of these long-term O&M contracts may create important fluctuation on the O&M backlog. As of September 30, 2019, so last year, the backlog was higher because we just renewed an important O&M contract. It's also important to note that the contract of Hayes and Gus are not included in the backlog, since most of these contracts are coming from municipal utility districts, which are generally evergreen contracts. Please move to page 14, the financial highlight. So now let's look at the first quarter of 2021 on a consolidated basis. We reported revenues of 35 million compared to 28.2 last year. It's an increase of 24% compared to quarter for quarter last year. As explained earlier, the increase is mainly coming from the two acquisitions we did in the last 12 months, Genesis and GUS, as well as the organic growth coming from specialty product and the O&M business pillar. The gross profit margin ratio increased to 27.1 compared to 23.8 last year. The increase of the gross profit margin in percentage is explained by the increase of the gross profit margin in percentage coming from specialty product and the improvement of the gross profit margin coming from WTS. We're very proud to report a net earning of 1 million for this quarter compared to a loss of 1 million last year. This is the second quarter in a row that we generate net earnings. And for this quarter, it is explained by the increase of revenue, increase in gross profit margin, and stable SG&A percentage over revenue. Now let's move to page 15, SG&A expenses. So the increase of the first quarter compared to the same quarter, SG&A increased a little bit. It reached 6.2 million compared to 5.1 last year. But in percentage, it decreased. The increase is explained by professional fees due to the audit related to Genesis in the UK and the fact that also we had to hire a consultant in the UK since we couldn't travel. And also, there's an increase that is explained by the acquisition of GUS. So some of the SG&As of GUS have been consolidated. Now, if we move to page 16, adjusted EBITDA, we're really proud to present this slide, obviously, with close to 10% of EBITDA. So we finished the quarter at 9.9% $3.5 million compared to $1.6 million last year, or 5.8%, so it's an increase of 114%. This increase of the adjusted EBITDA is driven by the increase in our consolidated revenue and the improvement of our gross profit margin. Let's move to page 17, working cap items or balance sheet. The working cap remains stable, increased by $100,000 since June. So the increase of receivables mostly due to the important deliveries of Piedmont and the integration of GOS. The increase in inventory is coming from the maple business line, so they're getting ready for the maple season, so ramping up inventory, and also the integration of the GOS inventories. And the account payable remained fairly stable, even though we've acquired GOS, which added $500,000. Page 18, net debt. Net debt increased mostly due to the acquisition of GOS, so we subscribed a long-term debt there alone to acquire GOS. We also proceed to $800,000 of reimbursement of the long-term debt during that last quarter, and also a reimbursement of $800,000 of our line of credit during that last quarter. We're pretty comfortable where the long-term debt is, below 1x adjusted EBITDA, so we believe we have a very healthy balance sheet at this point. Page 19, cash flow from operating activities. It decreased a little bit compared to last year, so the cash flow from operating activities stood at $1.3 million compared to $2.2. This decrease is coming from unfavorable change in working cap items. So this concludes my remark on the financial section. I'll now hand over the call back to Frederick for conclusion remarks.
Thank you, Mark. Let's look at page 20 for the closing remarks. Overall, we are extremely pleased of these results for the first quarter of this new fiscal year, as they show a significant progression from the comparable quarter in the previous fiscal year. Revenues continue to grow organically and by the acquisition of Genesis and GUS completed in the last 12 months. Our focus to grow the business with recurring revenues first is paying off, as it adds predictability and contributes to de-risk the business during this lasting pandemic. More and more, our business model promotes sales synergies among the different business lines and encourage customer retention, also contributing to maintaining high recurrent revenues that stood now at 90% of our overall revenues at the end of this first quarter. With proper business mix, a greater amount of specialty product sales, and continuous efforts towards margin improvements, our consolidated gross profit margin has continued to improve from 24% to 27% year over year. With good control of our expenses, we have been able to translate this margin expansion into adjusted EBITDA increase, and most importantly, a positive net earnings of $1 million, a record high presented in a single quarter. We are also really proud to say that we are reporting for a second quarter in a row a sustained net earnings. Finally, at page 21, it is with an extremely pride that, as our pictures are is showing there with happy faces, that we have learned in October that H2O Innovation was recognized as the Water Company of the Year by the GWI agency. What an honor and remarkable way to celebrate our 20th anniversary. This industry recognition is a real team victory and a pledge to the hard work, dedication, and perseverance of our 700 employees in Canada, USA, Spain, and UK. Once again, I want to thank them all for their amazing work. I will now turn it back to the operator for the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Vous posez une question, veuillez s'il vous plaît appuyer sur l'étoile suivi du numéro un. Your first question comes from Jerry Sweeney from Roth Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Frederic and Mark. Thanks for taking my call, and congratulations on a great quarter.
Thank you, Jerry. Good morning.
Frederic, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the specialty product segment. Just two areas. One, the Genesis platform, curious as to the opportunity maybe to expand distribution or to leverage their distribution with some other products to see how that's going. And then two, maybe just a little bit of a qualitative overview of some of the demand that's coming out of the markets for specialty products. I know you had a great, you've had some really good orders into the Middle East. just curious to see how some of the product sales and opportunities are developing on a, you know, on a go-forward basis.
Sure. Well, first, in terms of synergies, I will say it's coming in a very tangible manner. Piedmont was able to materialize synergies among Genesis distributors and Genesis network. You see, notably for one of the installation of filter housing that Piedmont was doing in Chile, actually because we had restriction in traveling, so we have used some of the team of Genesis to conduct, you know, the commissioning of these filter housing in Chile for one of our mining customer there. So that translated into some savings into the commissioning budget that we have for these filters. On the other way, also, well, not too long ago, with the Genesis virtual marketing event that we did for the distributor of Genesis, we also took the opportunity to further present Piedmont offering. And immediately, right at the end of the call, there was two distributors interested in taking over this product line, the Piedmont product line, within their distribution network locally in the different countries that they had. So it's very tangible. It's happening. Obviously, it's something that we would have liked to do earlier, and we were planning to do it earlier. As I said in previous call, we were supposed to do and conduct a large customer slash distributor event in Spain, but because of the COVID, we had to postpone all that, and this is why we're now doing it in a virtual way. For the second part of your questions related to the upcoming year, we still have strong demand for our specialty chemicals for both PWT and Genesis. We're giving a push right now on the specialty cleaners because we believe it's a right strategy and a right way to enter and develop a new relationship because it's non-disruptive. You're coming in, you're performing cleaning. It gives you a nice added value to the customer, and then you're able to position the subsequent other products such as anti-scalants and many other ones. So yes, I mean, we're currently building tremendous momentum in the Middle East at the tail of the success that Piedmont has also. So we're kind of enabling the relationship that Piedmont established during construction phase of this new desalination plan to introduce our chemical offering at the back end of it. So
that's great.
Yeah.
No, that's really helpful, especially with the Piedmont relationship. Excuse me. Then also shifting gears just to the O&M side, then I'll get back in line. Moving into Florida, a new state. Could you maybe describe the process, how you won the contract, and maybe the game plan going forward? Opportunity to, I'm not sure if it's, you see a little bit lower margins with contracts initially and then improve as you get a little bit more scale, just a little bit more thoughts on the game plan going forward for Florida. Thank you.
Yep. So in Florida, it was a bid, an open tender. So so we participated to that, and we have been selected by the customer to replace an existing company doing the operation and maintenance. So this is a big win, and I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you enter a new geography or a new state in two ways. I mean, by winning a first project or by making an acquisition. In this case, in Florida, it's by winning a new project. We believe that we'll be able to positively attract new customers in the surrounding of this first project, and this is what we're currently working on. I mean, the hardest one is to get the first one going. And mm-hmm. Yes, afterwards, I mean, you can get economies of scale by adding a second and third one and on and on and on. Florida is very friendly to operation and maintenance by the private sector. It's also a state where you will find a lot of membrane plants built by H2O in previous years, but also membrane plants built by other OEMs. So this is why we have interest in growing our O&M business in that sector.
I suspect there's an opportunity to cross-sell some of your aftermarket products, et cetera, in Florida.
Absolutely. I mean, our best scenario, obviously, is always to have a membrane plant, because if we are operating a membrane plant, we can bring a lot more synergies to it because our specialty product is first designed for membrane systems.
Got it. That's really helpful. I appreciate it. I'll jump back in line. Thank you.
Thanks, Jerry.
Your next question comes from Frédéric Tremblay from Desjardins. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, and congrats on a great quarter.
Thank you, Frederic. Good morning.
First question, I'm just looking to understand a bit better the timing of deliveries for specialty products, especially at Piedmont. I think we've seen two strong quarters in a row here. Can you just maybe help us understand on a sequential basis what your expectations are for Piedmont?
Well, this first quarter, strong first quarter for Piedmont was somehow expected a little bit because it was, you know, some of the products or projects that we delivered in Q4 were delivered in two phases. So it's just a completion of some of the projects already delivered in Q4. So it was done over two quarters. What we're expecting, I mean, Piedmont still have a fairly good backlog moving forward. What we're trying to push more and more is to grow our distribution network because the more we have a large distribution network, the more we're ensuring a steady base of recurring orders coming in. And we can still count on this. So it is a very competitive market. The desalination remains very competitive, so we have to be sharp on our pricing. We have to be sharp and be competitive. But on the other end, we can benefit from the large references and successful references and installation we have done successfully in the last couple of quarters.
Perfect. And in terms of your pipeline of acquisition opportunities, can you maybe talk a bit about that, as well as if you've seen a change in the multiples that sellers would expect in the current environment?
Yes, so we still have a fairly good pipeline. We're extremely busy with a lot of things. We haven't seen really significant change into our targets in terms of multiple. Again, we're still on the look for tuck-ins, similar to Gus, similar to specialty products that we have acquired in the past. And for the O&M business, if you look at what we have paid before, we have paid, you know, companies between 5 times to, let's say, 7.5 times the EBITDA for O&M business. For specialty products, we have paid, you know, between, let's say, 6 to 9 times EBITDA. So it will remain in the same range. We're still targeting companies specific to our business, so either specialty products or O&M that will fit these criteria.
Great. Last question for me, just on the margin outlook front. On the last call, you had mentioned you were targeting over 9% EBITDA margin in fiscal 21 and over 10% in fiscal 22. Obviously, very good Q1 here at 9.9%. Just wanted to see if you had any updates on your margin objectives based on that.
No update on that. I mean, it's there are some good margin deliveries that could create some fluctuation there. But if you have to look at it on a 12-month basis, and for a 12-month basis, we have no changes there, no update.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Frederic.
Your next question comes from Colin Healy from Haywood Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hey, morning, guys. Congratulations on the two consecutive quarters of profit. Just following up on your comments on Florida, is that the biggest focus and opportunity at the moment? Or where geographically would you say is the biggest opportunity for growth? Or where you're doing most of your bidding?
Well, activity for growth, definitely Florida. Texas, still very active. I would say the Sun Belt, I mean, the southern United States is more favorable to operation and maintenance in general. So we're still very active in this area. We're trying to expand also within the current geography we have organically in the Northeast, where we have a pretty strong basis of existing operation with multiple number of O&M contracts. So these are the kind of favored areas, so Northeast, Southeast, and Texas. And then we have a couple of pockets that we're exploring with tuck-ins acquisition that could enable us to further grow into geographies where we're not active right now.
Okay, great. And could you maybe comment on kind of the relative change or the trend you're seeing in terms of the number of projects or the value of projects that you're bidding on across the U.S.? Like, I'm just trying to get an idea of the trend or the number of new RFPs that you're seeing and how that's changing versus Q1 or calendar Q1 or 2, 3?
Yeah, so maybe I could help you with that. So I'd say that the industry growth is between 3 to 4%, and we've been in that business for 4 years now, and we have been able to double industry growth. If you look at historical pace, so we've been generating 6 to 8% per year for that business pillar. So just I can't tell you more about that right now.
And the average ticket for projects hasn't changed much, I mean, in terms of average size, so it's about the same.
Small, mid-size, or
yeah.
Okay, well, that's helpful. You're capturing about double the market growth, so that's a good place to start for me. Thanks a lot, guys. I'll step back.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Naji Baboon from Industrial Alliances. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Just a couple of questions, maybe starting with the WTS business. What's the total dollar value of the 26 projects that you mentioned you're pursuing, and what's the timeline on the awards for those?
Well, it is more or less represented in the backlog we have. So we have $40 million backlog. I mean, they're advancing and moving at different pace. Some are closer to fabrication and assembly. Some are into commissioning. I mean, there's 11 right now in commissioning and startup. And yeah, so that's the total value that is moving in the pipe, you know, between early engineering to finish is worth $40
million. Okay. I guess maybe just to ask the question differently, what about new projects that you're pursuing? What's that pipeline look like?
It's still super, super heavy, very healthy. We have numerous industrial and municipal opportunities that we're trying to chase. It's just that we have to be extremely selective in the opportunities we want to pursue. I mean, if you remember, we had, unfortunately, to right-size the business, and we had to let go some people back in June in 2020. So that's why we have more limited team, and we're pursuing a number of activities. But it's definitely in the areas of more than 70 to 100 million as we speak, the pipeline.
Okay, that's helpful. Maybe just on the, there was a sequential uptick in administrative costs. What would you say was the impact from non-recurring expenses? You mentioned professional fees related to Genesis versus, you know, just normal course business growth. Like, would you say, given where the business is today, that, you know, about $2.5 million a quarter, that's kind of reflective of a run rate number for administrative costs?
You know, what I can say is historically it's probably something we should look more on a 12-month basis. SG&As over revenues have been maintained between 17.5 to 18% over the last, you know, on a yearly basis over the last 2-3 years. So I think to modelize that could be helpful for you to looking at what we've done in historically and start from there. There was always variation, Naji. For example, Q1, we always have all our audit fees that passes there, so the needs may change from time to time. Like this year was UK that was added up, and some tax related, you know, planning fees. So will they be non-recurring? Or subsidized by something else eventually next year as first quarter? It's too tough to say. I don't want to promise anything at this point. But
okay,
I can tell you that, you know, historically they've been maintained, you know, in this area between, you know, below 18%. So we'll continue to work to maintain that.
No, that's good. So this is just the timing of expenses then. And just a last question for me on the O&M and the backlog there. You know, you mentioned timing of renewals obviously impacts the backlog. Can you maybe help us to quantify the value of the contracts that are, you know, nearing the renewal dates or that are up for renewal that are not included in the backlog?
Yeah. Well, again, the way it works is that you have specific dates. So as you're getting closer and closer to the date of renewals, I mean, the backlog gets eaten. Why is there is this big fluctuation compared to previous year? There was a large O&M renewal in Mississippi of a large yearly O&M contract that was renewed for 5 years. So this created a sudden bump of $20 million plus. So we have the large upcoming O&M renewals that we have will be more in July 1st kind of next year. So the summer should be pretty busy on next year for renewal of large O&M projects. And when we say about large, I mean, I will say between 2.5 to $7 million a year.
Per contract.
That's per contract, and the total would be closer to?
Well, I mean, if there's one that gets renewed on, let's say, 3 to 5 years, so the renewal could represent maybe in the case of 7 to 8 million, one single one. Then you have another large one in Mississippi also. If we get renewed, it could be another $35 million plus.
In the backlog.
Right. Okay, perfect. That's very helpful. Thank you. And congratulations on winning the Water Company of the Year Award.
Yeah, thank you, Nadji.
Your next question comes from Gabriel Leung from Beacon Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. And likewise, congrats on the winning the Water Company of the Year Award. And I actually did want to spend a second on that. I'm curious, sort of post the award, which is obviously a big recognition for you and your team, I'm curious whether that's been a catalyst for driving you into conversations with potential customers that you might not have had conversations with prior to the award.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, this award, I mean, it's not known here in North America, obviously, but the GWI is a global intelligence agency compiling data about, you know, the water industry in general. They provide this data to governments, to environmental agencies, to companies, private sector. So this recognition to be recognized as the Water Company of the Year is among us. It really allows to give this kind of recognition in terms of reputational recognition that you need if you are into the water industry to grow your business, particularly in foreign countries. You know, reputation in the water, I mean, reputation in business is extremely important. In water, it is even more true because, you know, there's this this aspect of providing critical components to essential services. Providing water, and treating wastewater is extremely important. So, if you're able to add to this that you have been recognized independently as a Water Company of the Year, obviously it elevates your profile to a much larger audience. Larger audience in terms of customers, larger audience of partners or companies potentially interested in H2O. So global profile of H2O gets elevated. So it's really, really impactful. With distributors as well. I mean, for the distributors into their specific countries, if you are in Algeria, if you are in Oman, if you are in the Middle East somewhere representing H2O product line, immediately you'll get, you know, it's easier for you to open doors.
Gotcha. Thanks for that feedback. And just going through the various divisions, on the WTS side, given what's in the backlog and given sort of your visibility, how do you see that business line playing out from a linearity perspective this year? Do you expect more of the revenues to be sort of back half fiscal year weighted based on what you see in the pipe right now?
Again, I'll base my answer on historical. So let's say we if I look in the past, we've generated about 25 to 30% of our revenues from aftermarket. So if you, you know, and the aftermarket revenues are disclosed into the recurring revenue definition. So it's about 10 to 11 million per year. So if you want to modelize it, then, you know, it's helpful, I think, to understand if this represents 30% to 40%, it tells you that probably indeed the backlog will mostly recognize revenues or will reach revenue milestones in the second half of the year.
Gotcha. And then on the specialty side, obviously you've had some very strong quarters, thanks in large part to Piedmont. I'm curious, I mean, fiscal Q2 and Q3 are seasonally stronger, but, you know, given the strength we've seen in sort of Q1, do you expect that sort of seasonality to continue to play out for Q2 and Q3?
Well, the one thing we know for sure is that now Maple business line is kicking in. I mean, now we're entering, you know, two quarters of high activity for the Maple business line. which is good too. So this could overcome, you know, if suddenly Piedmont is slowing down, Maple is picking up, one into the other between PwC and Genesis, you know, they will do their thing, you know. So, yeah, I wouldn't necessarily anticipate slowdown, you know, or one into the other. If there's anything, I mean, again, it's part of the business mix. What kind of margins, gross margin, this will generate once you blend everything together? If you have less Piedmont, more Maple, less chemicals, more chemicals, this will influence the overall gross profit blend that we have.
Gotcha. Thanks for that. Just two more quick things. First, Mark, I just want to confirm, were there any COVID-related wage subsidies that was applied in Q1?
No.
Nothing. Okay, perfect. And my last question would be, you know, given the larger scale of business that you now run and given the larger base of recurring revenues, improving margin profile, Fred, I'm curious, has that changed your view in terms of how much debt or what sort of leverage ratios are you willing to take on as we think about acquisitions?
No, I mean, we still want to remain under the 2.5 times debt to EBITDA. That's kind of our comfort zone. Again, we're posting right now at the end of this quarter less than one time debt to EBITDA. So we still have leverage. We're generating positive cash flow. So we're going to use what we have.
Gotcha. Thank you for all the feedback and congrats on the quarter.
Thank you, Gab.
We have no further questions in queue. I turn the call back over to the presenters for closing remarks.
Thank you very much for attending the call. Again, we're really proud of this first quarter performance, and we'll look forward to catch up with you on the second quarter results, which will be at mid-February. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.